Hello, welcome to RCI Fighting COVID-19 Special Program. Today, our guest is the Minister of Diversity and Inclusion and Youth, Badish Shigar. Hi, Minister Shigar. How are you doing? How have you been?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Awesome. Okay, my question started. From the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, the insults, hatred, harassment, incident against the Asian community have sharply increased. Chinese Asian people around Canada have been insulted, beaten, just like I said. Very unfortunately, the situation like this. What's your reaction to this?
I will tell you that our government, under the leadership of Justin Trudeau, we condemn racism, discrimination, xenophobia, hate. We know that these acts of violence, these acts of hatred have no space in Canada. For me, it's been really disheartening to see how some people across the country, because of where they come from, have been treated. And I've been really speaking with community across the country, including Asian Canadian communities and Chinese Canadian communities. And some of these individuals who have been targeted have actually been in Canada for generations. And because of the way they look or the color of their skin or the language they choose to speak, people around them are feeling that it's okay to be violent towards them. And it's not okay. It's never okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, many Canadians expressed their disappointment and genuine disbelief that this level of racism happened or exists in Canada. Do you think we have a systemic problem of racism in the society?
I think as Canadians, we pride ourselves for being a country of diversity where diversity is our strength. I think we pride ourselves on being multicultural and inclusive. I believe what we're noticing is that we have work to do and that we can do more and build better. And I think it's important that when we do see these acts of racism and hatred and violence, that we speak up. So yes, I do commend and thank the many organizations and people who work very hard to have an inclusive Canada, to create inclusive, diverse spaces. But I also do call out on the people who are not necessarily doing their part to also step up and to really think about the kind of country we want. I want a truly inclusive Canada where every individual can realize their potential and feel safe in their communities, feel safe wherever they are. So we have work to do, is what's clear.
So you think it's systematic or not?
For sure. I think if you look at the history of our country, and if you look at everyone has immigrated to Canada, unless you are Indigenous. And even the relationship with Indigenous peoples is one that our government has been committed to strengthening so that we have a true nation-to-nation relationship. But there has been issues within our systems, and there remains issues within our systems. And those are some of the changes and transformations we're trying to make. And that's why our government brought forward the Anti-Racism Secretariat. It has been set up not only as a resource for Canadians, but also for a resource for government departments, so that we're actually looking at our hiring practices. Are we having people of diverse backgrounds being able to advance within the public service? And how do we ensure when it comes to appointments that our decision-making tables and appointments that we're making better reflect our country's diversity? And I think that is what we've not always focused on, but our government since 2015 has been focused on ensuring that not only gender be represented, but that we do the GBA plus, so that the plus is where my focus lies, that we actually apply these lenses to not only our appointment process, but to our budgets, to all of the work that we do, because it's instrumental we be more aware of the decisions we're making. And we're also measuring outcomes. So it's important that we collect data and that we actually look at what the outcomes are. And I think what we're seeing with COVID-19 and this pandemic is that across the country, we don't have a national data set. And even though our government has brought back the long-form census, we still have work to do when it comes to collecting desegregated data based on race or socioeconomic status and region, and the list goes on. But because our government has worked with provinces and territories to set up the immunity task force, this is a step that I believe will help us have a greater dialogue as to the importance of all levels of government working together, better together, in the best interest of all Canadians.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about do something to fix it as a society. Just last week, CCNC, Canadian Chinese National Council Toronto chapter, launched a national-wide reporting website to collect the data, all kinds of hatred incidents during COVID-19. The project is actually sponsored by Heritage Canada digital program. So thank you for that. CCNC is also calling for reform of justice system. For example, setting up a special task force for the hate crime. So my question is, other than this project, is there any other measures that Heritage Canada or other federal departments is planning to do to address the issue?
And so I think what's clear is that we need ideas, and it's great that you're referring to the program. This is a program that we brought out in response to a lot of the misinformation, disinformation that is spreading, unfortunately, across our country. So the Digital Citizen Initiative is actually to work with national organizations that work with local organizations to actually counter that misinformation and share real information and the facts, because we need to make our decisions based on evidence and science. So yes, that is an initiative. Yes, there are other programs. There are community support, multicultural programs, as well as anti-racism programs. And the applications are usually ongoing. We will be doing more, but we really want to hear from community as to what will work. Oftentimes, governments believe that they have the answers, and we as the elected officials, we can definitely lead the way and make investments, but we need to ensure that we're responding to what community is asking for. So when it came to this work and the need to collect that data, that was a proposal that was shared with us that we were able to respond to. When it comes to reporting hate crimes, we have to understand that it takes a lot of courage to report and to be able to say, I was targeted, or this is an experience I went through, because then people are also having to relive that experience. But it's important that we collect this data and we be aware of what's taking place across our country, and that there's mechanisms in place to ensure that justice is served. And we're seeing that currently with what's taking place with the Black Lives Matter movement and the marches and protests, saying that it's important that our voices be heard, and it's important that our systems work for every individual, because Canada is diverse. And because we occupy so many backgrounds and so much diversity, we need a system that actually does not only reflect that, but responds and is held to account.
Yeah, just I think the racism is not a new issue. Now, you just mentioned that we're watching the protesters around the world, especially in United States. Yesterday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau just said, we watch it in horror. So in Canada, actually, some politicians also give a comments based on racial basis. So what's your comments on those issues?
So I'll tell you, I'm an Asian Canadian myself. My parents immigrated from India in the early 70s, and I'm born and raised in the Waterloo region. And I'm definitely watching what's happening in the world, and I definitely do think globally, but I act locally. And I know that in Canada, we have a lot of work to do, and that's where my focus is lying. It's lying within my community, within our country, so that Canada can truly be that inclusive Canada that everyone talks about. And I'm really proud of our reputation, and I'm really proud that people see us as such an inclusive society. But what's also evident is that not all people feel safe within all spaces of our country. And there are acts of racism and acts of violence taking place. And that's what I believe as a government we need to respond to. I believe leaders respond And what we can do is make sure that mechanisms are in place and that we are aware that in Canada, racism does exist, anti-Black racism, anti-Asian racism exists, and we need to ensure that we're not only listening, but that we are hearing the lived experiences, taking them seriously, and then being able to work together to find a more inclusive and better and stronger way forward. So another generation hopefully doesn't have to go through this.
That's true. Talking about a personal story, immigrant background, on a personal level, have you yourself ever experienced any kind of discrimination because you are visible minority and a woman?
I'll tell you, growing up in a community like Waterloo, I'm really proud and blessed to be in this community. Many people took me under their wing, and that's why I come from a time where communities raise children, and I had amazing teachers, and I have amazing mentors, and I have an amazing family. But yes, whether it is the color of my skin, whether it was the fact that I am a woman and continue to look like a young woman, my name, Bardish, is not a very common name. So there's been many facets of which I have definitely faced discrimination and faced acts of racism and violence. And I think the way our community has been raised is that, you know, let's open our doors and share. So the more we were able to share about our culture and our religion and ourselves as people, the more we were able to build bridges with the community. I think at some point, though, it's not just for the immigrant populations and the diverse populations to be sharing about themselves. I think safe spaces require every individual to be part of that conversation. And I think every individual can do better. And so we really need to reflect upon the spaces we occupy as individuals, as organizations, as government, and really look at who's not being represented. How do we have those voices represented? And that's why I'm really pleased to be within this role, because when, as a federal government, we are making decisions, even though I personally do not have all of the lived experiences, I do have mechanisms in place to be able to reach out to other communities and hear from them and then represent those voices. And I am going to continue fighting to not only represent those voices, but to have more of those voices present at the decision-making table. And I think that's why it's important that the appointments process continue to be strengthened and more people from different communities actually apply and put their names forward so that they can be considered. And then we can actually see if, you know, the system is working in considering a diversity of views and backgrounds and perspectives, or does that system need to be changed? And it is a new system. So I really hope that more people put themselves forward for the opportunities so that the decision-making tables and the policies we're coming out with actually work for more Canadians. I really do think about the generation that comes after us. And I really do hope that they have less of these experiences, and my dream and my vision will always be that they have none of these experiences. But I do know that we have a lot of work to do, and online we have seen a lot of horrid comments of people, you know, dismissing people's lived experiences. That is not part of the solution, that is part of the problem, but it does remind us that racism is not only in your face, but racism is also hidden. There is stealth racism, and not people's true selves don't always, or people's, you know, biases and so forth don't always shine until the opportunity comes. And we really do need to acknowledge and respond to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My last question, anything you want to see to say to Asian community, to minority community, regarding the potential racist threat? What do you want to see to them? Any suggestions, any advice?
I would say that we are hearing a lot of reports of anti-Asian racism, of anti-Chinese racism and violent attacks. And I also know that, you know, not all of it's been covered in the media. So please know that I believe you. I know your experiences are true. I know they are difficult, my heart hurts to hear that this is what you're experiencing, but we are committed to working together to respond and to build an even more inclusive Canada. And that's exactly why the Anti-Racism Secretariat is set up. And that's why we will put programs forward. And that's why I'm pleased to hear that the Digital Citizen Initiative is being used to counter some of these points. You are not alone. You have an ally and you have a partner in the government. And I want you to know that we know the work that Asian Canadians have contributed to our great country. May was Asian Heritage Month. It was an opportunity, just one another opportunity to celebrate the contributions of Asian Canadians. But we can continue to celebrate year long. And not only should we celebrate the contributions and make more people aware of the history of Asian Canadians in Canada, considering Asian Canadians have been in Canada before Confederation, so been here a long time, but we also do need to come together to raise the challenges and raise the realities that exist. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I thank you for sharing those moments. And I'm sorry that you have to relive them every time you share them, but I do hope you know that this will help us make sure another generation does not have to endure acts of hate and violence and racism. We will get through this together.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming to my show, to our program, to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Keep well, keep safe, everyone. And I hope to see you again.
Stay safe. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.